In the epistle today, St. Paul tells us, "Let it not so much as be named among you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today's topic, I'd rather not treat, even as St. Paul says. Some people always resent the subject, and you have heard it all before, but I'm thinking that with St. Patrick's Day coming up, it might make it a little easier and maybe a bit clearer if I tell you a true story of something that happened in the Emerald Isle a number of years ago, but just at that time when the fashion rule was that women should get undressed to go out in public rather than to get dressed. There was a young Catholic lady at a Catholic college in the United States, an American, who had some business or another with the church in Ireland, and she came to see the parish priest of a certain town, fortified with a proper letter of introduction to him. They sat down in the parlor, and well, I'll let the priest tell you himself. After I get to know her a little bit, says I, child, if you had more on your body and less on your face, sure, you'd be a sweet-looking girl. Only the Irish could get away with saying that, I'm quite sure. But she replied that she was a very good Catholic, and to prove it, she had a big purse with her, and she opened up her purse, and she brought out a big pair of heavy rosary beads. These are my beads, she says very proudly. I'm a very good Catholic. Well, why don't you get yourself a pocket to put them in, says the priest. Ah, but sure, where would you hide a pocket in clothes as tight as yours? And at that point, Father excuses himself. He leaves the room. He comes back with his own rosary case, and he gives her the rosary case with the wish that one day women will be again wearing clothes that are full enough to hide at least a rosary. Well, time passed, and this young lady stayed in touch with the priest, Christmas cards, things like that. And one day, she receives in the mail a package. He receives in the mail a package from her. He opens it, and he finds the rosary case he had given her without a word of explanation. And he wonders to himself, has she lost the faith, and with it, the rosary? God forbid. But a few days later come an explanatory letter, and in the letter, she tells the priest that finally she did get a dress with enough room for a good-sized pocket in it, a pocket big enough to hold her beads. I've become a nun, Father, she writes. It's a nice story and a true one, but I wouldn't want to leave you with the idea that it is only nuns who can manage today to dress decently. I agree with you that it is not an easy project, and it takes a lot of determination and hard work. But then again, most things in life that are worthwhile do. It's not just nuns who must dress decently. Speaking of sisters, I certainly wish that some of our young ladies would consider the sublime vocation of the sisterhood to be a spouse of Jesus Christ. But it is something that all of us are obliged to do. It is not just either for traditional Catholics or even Christians. It is a natural and a human thing. Now, we saw this Lent, how when it comes to Catholicism, many of us are indeed not all that we should be in the way of reverence, respect, and devotion towards our faith. And sometimes we are lacking in plain old Christian charity. And it may be that these two totter sometimes because of the foundation, that is to say, natural human virtue is shaky as well. Remember, grace builds on nature. Regardless of religion in the old days, before all of these changes happened to society, everyone dressed in a decent way and in an appropriate way in public, and particularly when they went to church. It was the era of ladies and of gentlemen. And you have to, ladies and gentlemen, start there with the natural. If ever you want to build yourself up towards the supernatural. the nature which Almighty God has given us has determined all of these questions. When Adam and Eve lost innocence, they made clothes to cover themselves up. The sense of shame comes naturally to us. It's an unnatural thing to suppress it. Not despite, but because of original sin, we have this built-in sense of modesty or of shame. And as I say, it is regardless of religion. Let me illustrate this. John the 23rd, the man who called the Revolutionary Council and the rest of it, was, as Roncalli, Angelo Roncalli, he was made a cardinal by Pius the 12th, papal nuncio to Paris. One time in the course of his duties, he was at an extremely elegant dinner party in Paris, and he was seated next to a lady wearing a very fashionable dress of extreme décolletage, that is to say, pretty much everything showing as wedding dresses are shown to brides today for their purchase. Well, when the time came for the fruit course, he passed her an apple, and she thanked him but declined it, and he offered it to her again, a second time. And the lady was rather taken aback, was wondering, why is he doing this? And Roncalli smiled and told her, Madam, it was only after Eve ate the apple that she realized she was naked. It is not something which is for Christians even. It is something which is human to start with. You'll never have the sublime supernatural virtue of holy purity unless you have that common sense of decency and of modesty for a foundation. Today, it is true, we have lost our sense of innocence. And for most of us, I am afraid it has been scandalized out of us by those who stand to gain the most by seeing us fall the lowest. Entertainment, the internet, fashion. Innocence has been exchanged for access, ready access, access to souls and to our families, and access, most of all, to our innocent children. And all because, like undressing in public, I had occasion to go to Walmart the other day, and I'm not usually in a store like that, and it was an eye-opener for me as I stood there waiting to be checked out to see the jeans are the dress code or the uniform of the day, and young men must have their pants falling down, and young ladies must have their pants plastered on. And all of this because Bishop Bellard said it. Almost all are slaves to the ideas and fashions of the society they live in. Only half a dozen in a given age can shake themselves free of these influences. How about you? Are you a slave or are you free? You may try to excuse your clothing, saying, well, it's just fashion and besides it's so difficult. But we know better. Thus, the battle for what we wear at church Sunday after Sunday and year after year. The question of a dress for ladies, for example. It will never be better than a quaint, out-of-date costume that some chafe to get out of as quickly as possible and have to duck into the ladies' room to accomplish that, unless we understand our nature, the way God made it, and unless we replace fashion sense with common sense and decent human modesty. However, to fight the temptation, and I know it's very strong, to go along, parents, to get along, to conform with all of the rest. How do you fight temptation? You look it in the eye, and you name it, and you shame it. A girl, as she is growing up, must fight two tendencies inherited from Eve, these tendencies can become easily exaggerated. And the first of these is the natural instinct to be attractive. And the second, her desire to follow fashion, the way everybody else is doing it. A young lady, though, if she is a lady, will realize this, and she will think of the danger which she poses by her dress and appearance to herself and to others, and she will be careful to form a delicate conscience, as mothers will in their own daughters, and not a crude one. Truth needs to be asserted, named externally, and then lived daily. Even the most natural virtue, if not, will be strangled by scandals. Clothing which is designed, remember, this is the principle, it's a natural principle. Clothing which is designed to draw the eye to that which is distinctive in a woman or in a man has no place in your life. If you follow that rule and not fashion all week long, you will always come to church dressed modestly on Sunday morning. Now, a source of particular sorrow, surely, is to see a girl who should still be a girl, innocent, to see her tarted up beyond her years in all sorts of unbecoming gear. Parents, why not just say no? Why not let them be girls? There will be plenty of time later for makeup and earrings and high heels and nylons when the time comes to attract, and that's the point, the admiring gaze of a young man with a mind towards marriage. This is how it works naturally. But why should ladies, much less little girls, be kitted out in all sorts of provocative outfits, anywhere, Walmart, much less the house of Almighty God? And why should that rule obtain of trousers or pants, which are at best dumpy and drearily masculine on a woman? Think of communist China. And if that is not the case, then the opposite is true, and you have yourself a sin and a mortal one against holy modesty. Let girls look like girls. Let ladies look like ladies. And men, if they will not look that way, you take responsibility to look away. It's small comfort to you that that girl who tempted you to serious sin should be burning next to you in hell for all of eternity. Make up your mind in this matter. You be gentlemen in every sense of the term. You dress properly and give a good example always. It is only natural that it should be so. But grace builds on nature. And if this foundation is undermined, however are we going to live as charitable Christians or as Catholics who are filled with reverence and the fear of our Lord? There is no cause for pride here, and on our part, a little humility would be in order. It is only when humbly we put our house in order that we will appear dressed decently in God's house. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.